It was so kind of you to invite me to your party. And I wish I'd been able to come, but it so happened I couldn't. So I'm going to do a very quick flick through my wifedom as the headmaster of Southern Grammar School in the hope that you will enjoy what you hear. Peter particularly wanted to know something about the sale of work that went on and on, this wonderful social event which eventually paid for the organ and the swimming pool. It was evident as soon as we got into our makeshift school that Harry was thinking in terms much grander than the situation in which he found himself. And he said one day, and he was not a man of saying, he had a sort of rugged grandeur that comes from Durham. He said, I would like to have an organ school and I would like to have a swimming pool. Have I said that buying an organ and buying a swimming pool means getting a lot of money? And of course we had to have a perfect committee, and we did. We had a Mrs. Loud, who was a parent and had a covey of wonderful workers who made things and did things and arranged things and decorated things. And, of course, there were one or two members of staff. I can't remember anybody except B.C. Thomas, who I think was science, not quite sure. And I last heard of him 2 or 3 years ago. And the money poured in. It poured in extremely well. And soon the brochures were coming for electronic organs. We weren't going to have a pump organ, we were going to have a real modern one. And the swimming pool had to be left really until the school itself had been opened. And we come to the opening of the school. One day, Harry said, oh, by the way, the Minister of Education is coming down soon to have a look at the bit of land out on the Eastern Road. And I don't know, I think things are moving pretty quickly. And though they were, staff were called to committees and the staff all said what they would most want in the school, including a man who was straight from Cambridge who wanted a cyclorama because he was terribly good at doing the school plays. His name was Saxon Walker, a very good name for a producer. I remember particularly one school play, well, I remember them all pretty well, but one in which an awfully nice boy called Brian Loder, who got a scholarship to Oxford and gave up science because he was so afraid of the beautiful world being destroyed by nuclear fission. And he played Macbeth for all he was worth. But on one occasion, when the curtain came through at the end of the scene, Brian Loder was caught by the rope of the curtain and he swung around like a marionette. And that made a tragic situation in the play extremely funny for the audience. And he took it all in excellent. Speech Day was the other great social event when Harry stood on the stage in all his glory of gown and cowl. I don't think he carried his square with him. I think I've got a feeling he told me it wasn't his. He bought it second hand and it was too small. Anyway, this was when he told the story of the trousers and disasters. And then when the speech was over and the applause had died down, we all retired to have cups of tea and buns. And it was then, oh then, I was so proud of those boys because they all remembered the old members of the staff and the old members of the governing body who didn't have sugar or did have sugar or didn't have milk or did have milk. And it was so polite and so bland. And I really enjoyed speech days. They were wonderful. And we used to get quite interesting people. Fortunately, I was attached to a place where I could bring in some rather special people. And of course, Harry always was attached to Navy, Army and Air Force, where he used to turn up and with a whole covey of captains and other courageous men decide who should enter naval cadetship or RAF or wherever. And while we speak of governors, I must mention Alderman Mrs. Sharp, who always used to say, "My mother was a public woman and I am a public woman." Indeed she was. She was a tremendous committee person. And she had a very fine respect for herself. On the opening of the school, Harry said, "It's a pity we haven't got some device in which will prove that we're a school and that we're full of young people." And she said, "Oh yes, a device would be very good indeed. Very good, I'm all for that." Now, there was a boy in the school who wanted to be a sculptor, and we had a very good art man then, and this boy was having excellent training, and in the course of, I don't know how long, but not very long, he turned up with a naked little boy holding what I suppose could have been an image of victory. And the victory was held at his chest. Mrs. Sharp saw the device in place. And she said, "Oh, I must have a word to say about that. I can't think it's right to have a completely naked creature in front of the school. So I would suggest that the boy held victory rather lower down his body." I don't know what became of the device or of Nelson's ship that the boy held so proudly when our Southern grammar became a comprehensive school. I think there's little else I can say at this moment. A strong man from Durham had a wonderful career. He died at the age of 97. And it's quite evident that his boys liked him. Some loved him, and some, of course, will say, with the boy in the book who said, "My headmaster's a beast, but he's a just beast." I have very little more to say, except that we are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little world is rounded with a sleep.